Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is up to episode 196, and that's where we are. We're still on our way to 200. We're going to eventually do something really cool with that 200th episode. Please let us know if you know what that could be or would like it to be. We're still, you know, taking suggestions, as it were. Let us know via Twitter, Facebook. Let the HAL 900 know on the notathingpodcast.com website, and you could be part of history. It's historic, right?
I mean, yeah, it's what year are we in now?
2016.
Not what year are we in? I mean, of the podcast.
Oh, we just
the
we
only
just,
years that matter.
Yeah, well, we figured out we're year four of the podcast. So, what is that? What do we do? You know, common era. So, do we say like Not a Thing podcast era or something for the timing?
PE for podcast era. BPE for before podcast.
Well, we're four. We turned four. What was it? July 25th. So we're a week late on wishing ourselves happy birthday.
A day late and a dollar short, as always.
Quite a few dollars short.
Yeah, that's true.
If you would like to sponsor the Not a Thing podcast, we're still looking for our first sponsor. We're happy to use this platform to get the word out about your thing or not thing. Hashtag, actually, no, we retired that one. Hashtag moon tent.
Let's bring back moon tent.
Yeah, we're still on hashtag moon tent. Or I guess hashtag reptilian overlords. That one's still okay. Right.
That's still all right.
Right. We're the hashtag, which will not be named, has started too many real things in this world that are awful. So we're going to just not mention it anymore. And a couple good things came out of it. Really, the only good thing was Neil deGrasse Tyson rapping, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Alan.
Happy birthday, Brendan.
What? That was 196 episodes ago, which is actually 199 recorded episodes ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so.
Which is, we talked about The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. That happened.
Yeah, if you do want to go back and listen to all 190-some-odd episodes on the way to 200, really more power to you. That's fantastic. I'm not going to do it.
But so if you listen to two episodes, or no, one episode from now, The next episode that we do will be the 200th that we've recorded,
mm-hmm.
but numerically it will be 197.
Right.
So that's like the secret menu 200th episode. That episode will be animal style.
Yeah. Animal style fries.
Yes. Hell yeah. That is the animal style fries of episode. Damn it, now I want animal style fries. I should not record when I'm hungry and tired.
Well, let's do what we can to get you to either food or bed as soon as possible.
Or just lose my appetite.
Yeah, we can with certainly
all the not things.
Yeah. There are quite a few not a thing things in this this episode. Hopefully it's not too much of a bummer. It probably won't be. We like to keep it at least somewhat positive and hopeful, even when we're talking about stuff that's a little odd and weird. Actually, the first thing we're going to talk about is odd and weird, but it's actually a thing. It's an update to a story that we had talked about back in insert episode here about the bus in China, which will straddle lanes of traffic. This was an idea that came out of I believe it was like a Chinese like tech expo, and they had a bunch of ideas, and one of them was to create a bus that would be like it was running on stilts, except those stilts would also have wheels on them, and it would fit over two lanes of traffic and be able to keep rolling even if the traffic is stopped. So it's I remember when we talked about it way back. It probably was only like 2 months ago, but when we talked about it,
that far ago.
Yeah, it was not that long ago. But I remember hearing about it and thinking, "Oh no, that's ridiculous." And they had a little like scale model that they ran around a little track, and they had a really slick animated video, which kind of cheated. You know, it's showing it turning, and it looks like it's the actual train is bending or on the turns, which. All of the models make it look like it's not an articulated bus. It's just a solid bus. But they went ahead and they built it. It's there's a prototype, apparently, in Shanghai. And they have it moving not very quickly, but it's on a track. But the track simulates a road, and there's a car underneath it. And it rolls over it, and there's lots of people taking pictures of it like crazy. It looks like it's actually going to be a thing, which is, I think, amazing. I mean, when we talked about it, we were kind of split about whether it would be good or not. I remember you thought it would be a great idea because it seems to have, you know, I mean, if you can't fix the traffic, fixing a way to get around the traffic seemed like the way to go, especially if it were a public transport option, which would reinvigorate public transport. So... there you go. It might be a thing, maybe.
I don't know. Me approving of things doesn't sound like something I would do.
Well, we can all go back and listen to that episode, or someone could listen to that episode and then let us know how we did. I'm sure you could do that over many episodes, as we do tend to revisit stories now and again. Like, we're going to revisit one actually just from last week. When we talked about actually, was it last week? No, I don't know.
It's an insert episode here.
Oh, that's right. Right. So what happened was there was a murder, and the cops, in looking to get more data about the deceased, wanted to unlock that person's phone, but the body had already been buried by that time. And so what they did was they 3D printed a finger to and then used the I assume, like, you know, they use the actual deceased finger as a scan model in order to do the to unlock the phone, and they had some hopes for success for that. It turns out the way that they ended up getting into the phone, as described this week, was not as high tech. They ended up using the fingerprints that were taken, that are just part of any normal investigation. They took the regular ink fingerprints, scanned them at a really high resolution, and then printed them with an inkjet printer that used an ink that is conductive, so the fingerprint reader would work. And then you can essentially stick any person's finger behind it, and it would unlock your phone. So on one hand, we were talking about a really novel and kind of far out way of unlocking a phone, and now it seems like it's like a lot easier and cheaper. So it's even more dangerous, as we talked about on that show, about how unlocking a phone is really, I mean, your phone is really your life in a lot of people's cases. There's so much data that can be mined out of a phone, and having access to it, you know, warranted or not, and having it only protected by like a biometric lock. It seems like the biometric lock is more of a convenience for unlocking. At the same time, it's not necessarily a deterrent for unlocking by third parties. So just an update about that one. You know, buy those fake fingerprints, maybe, and then lock your phone, or just use a passcode all the time, Like I do, because I'm crazy. speaking of crazy, we're going to Florida, but not crazy Florida, just regular Florida, which is honestly crazy enough. This is news coming out of Miami that there have been 10 reported cases of the Zika virus, which and it seems like all of them have been traced back to mosquito bites. So it's not there have been a couple different vectors for transmission of Zika. Some were saying that it might be sexually transmitted. Others were saying that it's only mosquitoes. The big deal about it is that these are the first documented cases in the United States, in the continental United States, about Zika passed via mosquitoes. So kind of a big deal. I'm not sure what kind of CDC protocols get enacted when this kind of thing happens. Do they?
We should just drop a giant citronella candle on Florida and then just light the rest of the state on fire. It can only improve. Florida, you're the worst.
Yeah, just, you know, invest in whoever makes off Skintastic or whatever it's called.
You know, when you, like in a zombie movie, you get bit by a zombie on your arm and you got to chop it off to protect the rest of your body?
Right.
That's Florida. Florida is the infected leg of America, and we need to just chop it off. Just bomb the crap out of the edge of it, and then just let it float out into the sea, because that's how that works.
I believe that was the plot of the first Superman movie. If I'm remembering right.
Did I just unintentionally channel Lex Luthor? Or more of Max Zorn?
The Gene Hackman Lex Luthor. So, you know, it's legit. He had so much star power, he convinced the makers of the film to let him keep his hair. So Lex Luthor is always depicted as being bald. And so, I don't know, other than, you know, you just got to be Gene Hackman, I guess.
I don't know. I think more of Christopher Walken in was it V to a Kill?
Yes.
We could just sink Florida.
Right.
And flood it.
Mm-hmm.
Just bomb the middle, and
it's already flooding. You know, it's going.
It's mostly
flood.
Underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, you're practically there. I think that might work.
I always thought it'd be a good supervillain. I mean, I'm helping the country. It's for the greater good.
The greater good.
The greater good.
Moving from one deadly virus to a deadly bacteria, I believe. I'm not sure if
it is a bacteria.
Yeah, anthrax. The bacteria is making a comeback in Russia, in Western Siberia, where they did a fair amount of research to make sense of this. So 13 people and some large number of reindeer have caught the anthrax bacteria disease, or have been infected with anthrax, which has been generally a unknown kind of bacteria in the majority of the world for quite a while. They in Russia, they actually stopped vaccinating the animals in the region for anthrax because there hasn't been an outbreak in something like 50 years. But apparently in the last 2 weeks, they've had unseasonably warm weather, and the heat wave has melted a lot of snow and ice that's up there. And the current theory about where the anthrax came from was they had it was potentially a dead animal that had anthrax that was frozen in the ice, and after everything had melted was exposed again and was eaten by, you know, some animals, then just passed from animal to animal to animal, and eventually to humans. The people that were infected were a group of folks that hunt and regularly eat reindeer meat. So they suspect that it the vector line was through that. So it was the hunters, and then the reindeer that they ate, and the reindeer to the one that was ended up being unfrozen. And so this is like zombie movie level stuff. If we were talking about Zika and everything, this is that, you know, disease that's been dormant for, you know, 50 years and all of a sudden is up and around again. This is really not a thing. Hopefully they have attacked this with extreme prejudice was what I believe they usually use the term they use. I was reading a little bit about anthrax and Russia, and they have unfortunately some amount of history with it. And so one of the other theories that they've been kicking around is it's in a region that was used for mass burials of anthrax infected animals. And so they would essentially bury them in the ground and put, you know, markers up to say, hey, this ground has anthrax in it, don't plant anything, or, you know, let livestock run around out here, anything like that. And they researchers have kind of figured out, even with the snow and ice and permafrost that's up there, or I guess not so permafrost because it ended up melting this year, with the snow and ice and everything, anthrax can lay dormant for up to and over 100 years. So that's kind of a problem. I think figuring out a better way to dispose of that is probably going to be necessary if burying it in the ice is not going to work. Thanks, global warming. But yeah, if you ever wanted the nightmare scenario being passed anthrax by a reindeer, that sounds like pretty good
nightmare. That sounds like a very different Christmas song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like grandma got anthrax from a reindeer.
Yeah. Real bad. Not a thing. Hopefully that gets looked at and figured out and worked on. Moving on to something that's been looked at and figured out and worked on for years, apparently isn't a thing. We're talking about flossing. A story came out this week because I forget exactly who, but a bunch of researchers put in a Freedom of Information Act request to get the is it the American Dental Association's research about flossing. The researchers are saying that they're questioning the efficacy of flossing for all the things that it's supposed to be good for, removal and reduction of plaque, etc., etc. And they're saying that it's the studies that have been released that that are pointed to are kind of flimsy and not recent. And so this is a way, it may just be a publicity stunt as a way to get better studies done about flossing. But it does seem to have the effect of saying, hey, we don't need to floss anymore, whatever. And I don't know. I think the jury is definitely out on that, and I'm happy if they do more studies. I think that's always a good thing, to repeat a study's results in order to verify it, or to if it's going to invalidate it, at least find out a better direction for what data can be pulled out of that. In the meantime, I'm probably still going to floss, because I know, at least from personal experience, my teeth are fine. They're real, real good, and I don't like brush all the time. But flossing, I definitely do, and that is what that does for me is it keeps my gums kind of in line, because I have a family history of really bad gums, and I'd rather not have my teeth fall out. The teeth are going to be fine when they fall out. Like I only got my first cavity ever last year, ever. It's really wild, but flossing. It's according to these researchers, not a thing.
I feel vindicated in having not flossed in a long time. Brush daily, but no, I don't have a good time for that.
I was a fan for a little while of the water pick. Do you ever see those, or you know how those work?
I'm familiar with them, but I've never used one.
Yeah, it's like a water gun for your mouth. It's it's kind of fun. If you don't mind, you know, like drooling all over yourself while you're doing it. It's a little messy. You get kind of water everywhere. I mean, you essentially have like a pump and a pretty strong water gun. If you don't have it in your mouth when you start it, the water goes everywhere. Handing this to a 10-year-old was a real mistake. as I got older, it got a little better, but then I eventually got rid of it. Maybe I should bring those back. If it meant not flossing. I mean, I hate flossing. It's annoying. And possibly not a thing. We're going to keep going and move on to from something annoying to someone annoying. we're going to move on to Peter Thiel, who has been in the news probably too much for his appearance at the Republican National Convention in support of Donald Trump. He also was in the news for being the silent person backing the lawsuit of Hulk Hogan against Gawker. I don't know. I guess when you build PayPal, your options are Elon Musk or Peter Thiel, and Peter Thiel obviously went the Peter Thiel route and is not
Team Elon.
He's not making fancy electric cars and rockets that can take off and land. What is he doing? It came up in the news this last week that he is kind of a vampire. And I don't mean in the investing sense or the what he's doing is he's doing a lot of research with a company where he's an investor called Ambrosia, which is an anti-aging company. And the things that they're doing fall under the heading of parabiosis, which is, in the short form, is it's renewing the body's blood supply and then in theory, that blood, you know, the person takes on the qualities of that blood, particularly youth. They're using it as an anti-aging methodology, so you continuously will get transfusions of blood from younger people in order to keep yourself being young. I really have nothing to say about this other than, oh my god, it sounds really creepy. Further than that, the article goes on to mention that parabiosis, the first experiments with that were taking rats and cutting them open while they were still alive and stitching their circulatory systems together. So one rat would essentially get the blood pumped into it from the other rat, who would get all the like refuse blood, the crap blood. Again, fantastically creepy. And really not a thing. I think I would rather look into the gene therapy that we talked about in insert episode here about the where the the CEO of the company injected herself with a virus that would replace all of the or rebuild all of the telomeres on her DNA in order to combat the genetic age of her cells.
Yeah, from insert episode here.
Right. I think that one is a little less creepy. it's still kind of weird, but certainly not, you know, taking the blood of young people and infusing it into yourself. You know, I guess if you have the disposable income and don't want to make electric cars or solar available for people, that is a route you can take.
But what if he's right? What if that does turn out to be the secret to living, say, twice the age you currently live with modern science?
I'd rather not.
So it's like die at 70 or live till you're 140, but you have to drink the blood of the young for the rest of your life.
Wow. I think it's
or you don't have to drink it, but you have to get it in your body somehow.
Yeah.
Get it injected, whatever.
That seems
it's not
okay.
It's natural, it's organic. People put all kinds of drugs in their systems to keep them alive.
I think it's it doesn't guarantee how your body's going to be at 140. I mean, are you going to be...
say it's fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, what if it works? I mean, Elon Musk is doing amazing things to try and push us into the future. It sounds like he's trying to do the same thing in a much more self-serving way. But what if he's right?
Oh.
That's always the question I want to ask, but what if they're right?
Okay, well, in that case, maybe we will get to land on Mars. I mean, we'll be like 130 when we get there, but maybe that's okay.
What if they work together? I mean, we could go to planets that are farther away with longer lifespans.
It does sound tempting.
I would totally do it. But you never want to be the first person. Or even the second. Be like the 30th or, I don't know, 3,000th person.
Yeah.
To do the thing.
Sure. We don't need to be pioneers. We're
no, you know. No, don't be a pioneer. For medical testing things.
Well, you know, instead of pioneering, let's talk about going backwards. We're going to talk about Comcast. And instead of innovating our way to a better internet, they are they're kind of finding a way to make ads be everywhere.
Monetize your life.
Retroactively adding advertising back into the internet from whence it came. This is an interesting story that you found regarding a thing that Comcast wants to do, which is to charge a fee in order for you to opt out of essentially higher level ad tracking. And I thought that was surprising, but what was more surprising was that it's not like just Comcast. AT&T apparently already does this.
I hate them both so much. I'm so glad I don't give them any of my money. I give AT&T my money for my cell phone. Damn it. AT&T Wireless is fine. They don't do anything wrong.
Oh, except, you know, there's like no service wherever I want to go.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah. So, in short, they're... Comcast and AT&T are AT&T is doing it. Comcast is going to do it, and what they're going to do is turn on a higher level of internet usage tracking. It was described on AT&T's side as a way to track internet usage and log it to the second. So every second that you're doing something on the internet, they are logging it and potentially using it to generate, you know, ad databases or otherwise have usage pattern data that can be used by anybody. I mean, we've talked about fingerprinting of your internet connection and things like that. I mean, they don't have to, they might say that it's anonymized in that they won't say that it's your IP address necessarily, which could be tied to you, but they can track things like what websites you go to, the logins that you might use, the order that you do that, the websites that you go to when you're on a mobile device, which could be used to track you around a on a path, because if you're surfing the same site but you appear in three different cell zones, they're like, oh well, that's clearly this is the same person just tracking through this area. So there's all sorts of tracking that that exists and can be turned on. Apparently it can be opted out of for, and it's a this number is in dispute. The article both says $30 a month and $800 a year. So there's kind of a gap in between there about what the actual cost is. But
too much.
But yeah, that's a lot of freaking money.
This sounds like extortion. Like, yeah, we'll get your data and then you pay us and we won't give it to anybody.
Right. Right. Yeah, and $30 a month, that's significant. That's like almost, that used to be my entire bill for for internet access per month. Maybe I don't understand what internet costs anymore, but yeah, that's...
Anyone who is considering doing this, paying that money, don't do it. Get a VPN.
Yeah. That
would be $3 to $4 a month for them to not touch any of your shit.
Yeah, that certainly will work as long as the U.S. doesn't go the way Russia is going. So this came up because my VPN notified me about this happening. It's that Russia's laws now state that even VPN providers have to keep track of their usage that that flows through their servers, and so they can request logs from VPN providers. So my VPN provider said that they're closing their point of presence in Russia, which is a bummer for anyone that's in Russia, because that means that they can't use that that VPN service and not be tracked. Instead, they will end up going through a service that is outside of Russia or a service that is going to comply with that logging and turn over those logs. So that blows. But yeah, VPNs are good. VPNs are a thing. Tracking you and then making you pay to not be tracked is really not a thing. Hopefully the FCC is able to stand up to that, especially with their latest victories about reclassification of broadband and things like that. There was one other bit about the tracking information and what was there. It said that both AT&T and then Comcast wanted to do it. It sounds like Verizon is doing something big as well. It's really, again, just finding ways to insert the ad revenue back into. As if they don't make enough money off of us already just by charging for bandwidth usage and access and everything else, they have to also sell your usage patterns to data warehousing companies that will then turn it back into advertising for us, which we will also be paying for in the future. Really not a thing. Hopefully a more access-based model rather than a profit-based model will come out of this. I don't know if there's any traction. We talked about it in the past about the internet being described as a public right in some countries. I don't know if it'll ever fully get to that point in the U.S. as long as companies like AT&T and Comcast are able to kind of pull this stuff, especially because it's not called you know, $30 opt-out of data tracking. It's called Internet Preferences. It's like, what? How are you? How is anyone supposed to know? Oh yeah, I want to pay $30 to not get internet preferences. That doesn't even, yeah, yeah. It's not even, it's horrible because that's probably not even a fine print level, like, line item. Like, how do you even know that's there? That's awful. So, little depressing news about the internet. The internet is not free. Still working on that. We'll see. Some kind of slightly less depressing news about the internet. Similarly to last week, we talked about how Twitter is adding stickers to Twitter pictures, so you can add stickers. I still don't fully know who's doing
that. Not a thing. Fuck that.
But apparently Twitter is doing it, and that's fine. In what social media service is copying another social media service news this week? Apparently, Instagram, owned by Facebook, by the way, Instagram is now including stories in their feed. I don't know what in their Instagram thing, which is exactly the same as stories in Snapchat, which I mean, like, they couldn't have come up with another name that at least doesn't invoke that they're just blatantly copying what's there. But stories in Snapchat is taking multiple pictures and kind of chaining them together into one thing. So rather than having, you know, an individual picture or an individual video that that you might send to a person or just advertise, you can link a few of them and that is your story. Well, apparently you can do the same thing in Instagram. I'm not really sure if this is a thing or not. I don't think it is. I guess copying other services is definitely a thing. So there we go.
It is a thing that happens. Whether it should or not is up for debate.
Right. And let's see, we're gonna round the stories off with something that I actually think is a thing. The Rio Olympics is starting this week. I guess the opening ceremonies and Parade of Nations are this Friday. I'm unfortunately going to be in the air while they're happening, so I'm gonna miss all of the, you know, the actual literal shit show that regarding the, you know, sewage water and all that kind of stuff. But even though I'm going to miss it, it doesn't mean that anybody else will necessarily, because for the first time they're going to be streaming or recording and transmitting the Olympics in 8K, which is absurd, like an absurd amount of resolution.
Is that, like, even necessary?
I'm sure it's not. I mean, full HD is 10, you know, what is it? 1080 lines of resolution, right? That's the 1080 in 1080p. And then 8K is 8 times that, but that's 8 times in one direction, so it's 8 times in the other as well, so it ends up being like 64 times the amount of data, like video data. It's an absurd amount of data, and also there aren't TVs that can display this as far as I know. I think it can be projected in some theaters that have really, really high-end projectors at that level. Yeah, that is a really ridiculous amount of detail, especially because even though there's that much detail, it's still only a square or a rectangle, right? You're not getting like a dome worth of video data or anything like that. It's just one view. I mean, even with multiple cameras and things like that, that I think is the real restriction on the format, not so much the absurdity of that. of the resolution. But
I like what they call it, super high vision, which is a bad name for that. Like, watch super high vision. Look at these crazy looking characters.
right. Big.
Have you seen the mascots?
Colorful mascots jumping around. I'm sure that that will be.
The opening tripping of the balls of the Olympics of 2016.
I also read that the not only is the video quality going to be ridiculous, the sound is going to be nuts too, because they're describing it as 22.2 audio. And so that first number is the number of speakers, and the second number is the number of subwoofers. So there are two subwoofers, so you have like stereo bass, which I don't know how that works because you're not supposed to hear bass. So
I want that. I much more want a 22.2 sound system than an 8K TV.
Oh yeah. I was reading a little bit about, you know, sound systems. I have 5.1 audio at my house. I'm very proud to say I've had that since I think my third year of college. I was just like, you know, I had, you know, the shittiest like 28-inch TV, but I had a great sound system. But I've been reading like the advancements of sound, and like, you know, it's you know, front, center, left, and then that's the left, center, right channel. That's the front side of it, and then usually there's rear, like left and right, and then if you add it's called like high surround, then you'll get 7.1, but to get 22 speaker sound, I have no idea where you go, because I've heard of there's a thing that Dolby just released called it just fell out of my head. I think it's Audigy, or I'm not sure what it's called, but it's Odyssey. That's what it, nope, I'm not gonna remember it. It's some Dolby proprietary thing. But what they do is they take 7.1 sound and they essentially double all the speakers, because you have sound at your level, and then you have sound that's higher than your level. So that ends up being like 13.1 or something like that, because they don't double one of the channels. But and then, so how do you get 22? Where are these other like 10 speakers? I don't know, but I want it.
Yep, that's all I know.
Yeah. I want the room full of speakers that you have to kind of, you step in and you're the only person that can be in there, because if someone else is in there, it throws off the sound fields of everything. Yeah. See, you don't need an 8K TV to get super high vision with like sound like that.
Yeah, they're saying that you can buy an 8K TV for $160,000. I know some high vision that is way cheaper than that.
Well, the two places that are purported to have a setup for that are both in Japan, it looks like. And they're banking on having 8K kind of standardized a little bit better by the
2020.
The 2020 Olympics. Right, the one where they're going to shoot fireworks from a satellite. Yes, I want to see that in 8K, because I definitely don't want to see that like live. I think that would be horrifying.
I love Japan.
Well, we'll be back probably not next week. I think I'm going to be vacationing next week.
On assignment.
So we'll figure out what happens when we get back, but we're still on our march towards 200. The stealth 200 is going to be the next episode, but the numerical 200 will probably be sometime in September, if my math is working out there. But
even my math can figure that out.
But in the meantime, if you would like to be on the show or participate in any way, if you'd like to give us topics, you'd like to give us feedback about things, let us know which episode numbers to fill in when we say insert episode number here, all that kind of stuff. Feel free to tweet at us or Facebook us. Let us know via the website on the HAL 900. We're always happy to get listener feedback. And also, if listeners want to be on the show, turn your listenership into a guest ship. That's a thing, right? Sure. Or a sponsorship, maybe. Hashtag Moontent. We're happy to have you participate in the Not a Thing podcast, however you feel comfortable. And if that's just listening, that's okay too, because we love producing this every week, mostly for free, mostly. It's great. We're gonna keep doing it at least until 200. I don't know what happens after that, but.
Where we're going, we don't need episodes.
Excellent. Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.